So today I want to talk, really, if I had to boil it down just to one or two questions, it would be this: how can we see God? And here's, I kind of knew this before, but thank you, Melissa, for lifting this up, that we're not just talking about kind of this passive looking in God's direction, but seeing God is knowing God. She nailed it. I mean, it's how can we see God? How can we interact with God, have a relationship with God, have communion with God? That's the question we want to look at today. And kind of the other side of that is what gets in the way, what blocks us from seeing or knowing or experiencing God. And this particular beatitude or blessing that Jesus talks about today, that's the question that it answers, because it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So as we've been doing these last few weeks, and I'm saying this out loud for the sake of the confirmation students who have to take sermon notes right now, there's going to be two parts to the sermon. The first part is, what does it mean to be pure in heart? And the second part is, what does it mean to see God? And then we'll put those together and have a blessing challenge for this week. But we're going to focus on the first half of today's blessing and talk about what it means to be pure in heart. Somewhere early in the week, as I was kind of thinking through the sermon and the passage, I realized that the default definition I have for pure or pure in heart is kind of innocence, or even being naive, innocent about the world. But then I got to thinking, I think I brought that to the passage. When I think about scripture that talks about purity, the ones that come to mind the most are when it talks about precious metals like gold and silver being refined in the fire to be made more pure. That's the image of purity in the Bible. It is this God working on us and refining us to make us more and more holy, more and more like Him. And we have the theologians have a big word for that. It's sanctification. But it just means to make us more like Jesus, more like God. And it's a process that God works in our lives. And so when Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart," it's blessed are those who are undergoing this refining, growing, maturing process, who are willing partners as God refines us to be more and more holy. And I want to think back to a couple weeks ago, to verse 6. When Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Turns out, and this is kind of new to me this time through the Beatitudes, he keeps coming back to this theme of holiness or righteousness, what God says is right. And so he's already said, if you long for, if you hunger for, thirst for God's righteousness, what is right, what is just, what is true, God will bless that. So it's like he's circling back around to that today, to say, blessed are those who are, or who are becoming pure in heart, who are becoming holy, who are becoming righteous. You will experience, you will see God. I want to go through a couple of scriptures with you that we've already heard in the service today, and just see how this theme continues to come out. So the one in Hebrews, Hebrews 12:14, "Make every effort to be holy." Now go ahead and pause here and say, if you're at all honest about yourself, we can't be perfectly holy. If we were, we wouldn't need Jesus in the first place. We wouldn't need God's intervention or God's rescue, God's salvation. But God does want us to strive to be holy, to hunger for righteousness, to run the race that's set before us. That's the purpose that God has set before us, is to desire and move towards holiness. So we'll read, "Make every effort to be holy," because without that being righteous, that being holy, no one will see the Lord. No one will experience the Lord. And the good news is that God has sent Jesus to help bridge that gap, make that connection for us. Philippians 2 that we heard today says this, and here's some specifics, right? If pursuing holiness is kind of abstract and you can't really figure out what that means, here's some specifics. Do everything without grumbling or disputing. Well, there's more to it than not grumbling, but there's two good examples. In doing things like that, you prove yourselves, you show yourselves to be blameless and innocent. And the word innocent is the same word that's sometimes translated pure. Right? That's what we're supposed to be, pure in heart, innocent, blameless. Pursue that. How do you do that? Well, here's an example. Don't grumble. Don't dispute. Doesn't mean you don't speak truth or don't seek justice or don't pursue what is right. That's the whole definition of righteousness, is doing what God says is right. But the way we go about it seems to matter. This verse goes on to say some more, that in doing that, we'll show ourselves to be children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. This verse says a couple of important things. One is that we're supposed to pursue holiness, purity. We're supposed to pursue what God says is right. And we're supposed to testify. We show ourselves to be part of God's family. We show ourselves to be children of God. And the purpose of that is to be lights in a dark world. Right? If you remember back to the beginning of the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then it goes on to say, and that Word was the light that God was sending into a dark world. But the darkness couldn't overcome it, couldn't overwhelm it. And Jesus is that light of the world. We're supposed to be like Jesus, right? Lights in the world. That's how God shows himself to the world, is through our actions, our deeds, through our pursuit of holiness. Now, all around that Matthew 5 passage, you would think, right? He's saying, be righteous, be pure, be holy. And yet he keeps coming after the Pharisees and the scribes, who are the masters of being holy and righteous and following all the rules. That's just one half of the equation, right? There's also, because he warns, if it becomes about you being righteous, you're going to get prideful and puffed up, and it becomes all about who can see me. The point isn't that we be seen, it's that God be seen. So Jesus and Scripture builds in all of these, I don't know what to call them, counterpoints, right, that go hand in hand with things like righteousness and holiness and truth, to help us understand how God is righteous and holy and true. So I want to give you a few examples of that. One, we've kind of messed this up because we've moved our banners, but for a long time, right, we've had the grace banner that's behind me over there next to the truth banner that you can't see online, but it's on the side wall, because grace and truth, God says, go together. If you just emphasize one or the other, you will skew the gospel, or you'll skew the law. It says God is both true and full of grace, and so are we supposed to be. So you have 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, hunger and thirst for righteousness, right? That's what the Pharisees were good at. Do what God says is right. Pursue what God says is right. But the very next week, we said, paired with that, show mercy. Do what God says is right, but also show mercy. That's forgiveness. You can be absolutely in the right. This person has done me wrong, and I'm not going to set that aside or say it doesn't matter or it didn't happen. But showing mercy is both stating the truth. You have offended me, you've sinned against me, you've done wrong, and I choose to forgive you of that. That's mercy. And God holds those together, righteousness and mercy. This week, we're talking about being pure in heart. Next week, paired with that, is to make peace with people, is be a peacemaker. So this, you know, this image of purity, gold and silver refined in the fire, is this kind of white hot purity, like you're gonna burn all the impure people around you. But God says, Jesus says, in the same breath with being pure, is be someone who makes peace with those around you. There's always these pairings, right, of truth and grace, of righteousness and mercy, of purity and peace. We're to be that way because that God is that way. So if that's the first half of the blessing, I'm going to move to the second half. Jesus says, those who are pure in heart will see God, will know, will experience God in their life. So I want to talk about what that means. And I so appreciate Melissa unpacking that a little bit. The purpose, or the result, of seeking to be pure in heart is so that we can see God. But that verse we read from Philippians says, when we do that, those around us will also see God, right? That's the whole dynamic of being blessed to be a blessing. In seeking God, in seeking to be pure, doing what God says is right, righteousness, being holy, not only will we experience God, that's the blessing to me, but those around me, my family, my friends, my coworkers, will see God through me. That's being a light in the world. So that's the whole purpose of these Beatitudes, right? Is to remind us or teach us how God will bless us and also how we can then bless others with that. I can't help but think about who can't think about the upcoming election? I mean, it's just everywhere we look now. But one of the things about that grieves me is seeing fellow believers, some people I know well, and I'm not calling anybody out in this room, just in general, people I know well who say they are followers of Christ, wearing their righteousness poorly, right, online or in person or via bumper sticker. And this really cuts across all party lines. It is tragic that people of faith are baptizing their politics with a little bit of scripture. I mean, that's just all backwards. And so there's this, you know, calling out of people that disagree with you as evil, as, you know, just the most exaggerated language about how they're betraying Christ and scripture and all the rest. And there may be elements of truth to the convictions that we're holding on to, right? But we're doing anything but wielding them with mercy or with grace or with peace. I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't have political views or religious convictions. I do have them, and I have strong ones. But we are to engage each other and engage the world as lights in the world, not as axe-throwing, sledgehammer-swinging Christians. I mean, what a testimony to Christ. Jesus says we're supposed to pursue holiness, what God says is right, purity. And as we do that, and that will create convictions in us and actions flowing out of us. He says we're also to engage with grace and mercy and peace because it shows the world what God is like. And the flip side of that is showing the world what God is not like. So what gets in the way of seeing God? It's when we take these really inseparable pairs, scripture Jesus has put before us, like truth and grace, righteousness and mercy, purity and peace, and we pull them apart and we just wield one. That's how we spiritually harm people and do not bear witness to God. So it leads me to this week's blessing challenge. Some weeks I kind of throw it open of whatever God may be teaching you this week, but this week, particularly 9 days to go, or eight, nine, to the election, my challenge is for you to be aware and pray that God will make you aware of your interactions with other people and how you engage with them. If we can engage with what is true, what is right, but do so with peace and with grace and in mercy, we will be honoring God and we will be the lights in the world. We will literally, out of our blessing, we will be blessing others, and that's what God has asked us to do. So my challenge to you this week is to be aware of your interactions with strangers in the parking lot, with the car going past you on the road, with your own family, your own friends, whoever it may be, and bring that to the Lord and say, God, how would you have me interact with these people who are dear to me? Whether we're talking about, you know, truth or justice or doing what God says is right, I can hear the voices. I wish I could have the truth and grace banner right next to each other again. It's always easy when we swing to one side of saying, well, you over the grace, you're giving everybody a free pass. Or over on the grace side, you truth people, you're just beating people over the head. If you think one or the other is off base, it's probably because you've swung and you're sitting on the other side. God says, hold them together. Don't dismiss what is true or right or harm that's been done to you or injustice that's been caused to you. Don't sweep them to the side. acknowledge them as true, but also bring Christ's character to bear. It's the whole thing, just to give an example. You know, if one of my kids has done something wrong and they come to me and say, "Dad, I'm sorry that I did that." It's the difference between saying, "Doesn't matter," that's sweeping it aside, that's neither truth nor grace, versus saying, "Thanks for saying that. It did hurt my feelings, that was wrong, but I love you and I forgive you." That's holding out both truth and grace, righteousness and mercy. And that's what God would have us do. And that's what God blesses. And he says, when we do that, we'll see God, we'll experience God, and so will other people. May God bless these words to our hearing and living. Amen.